expand our ability to reach out to more students and to more staff and faculty to get engagement. And so with that said, let's turn it over to Mary and have her present on some of the things we'll be doing this semester, and then provide an overview of the history of IRA in terms of the administration of it. Oh, you're on mute, Mary, I'm sorry.
Hi, I think I'm not co-hosting, so I don't know if Dave can either make me a co-host or if he can share the PowerPoint.
I'll share it right now, yeah.
So I maybe click to the next screen.
Can everybody see that okay? I'll enlarge it.
So this is kind of where we're looking at this year. We had 709,000 roll over from last year due to not being able to do the traditional spring break travel IRA awards that are typically one of the major things that gets funded each year. We have a few items there, the 71,000 that are awards that weren't able to run last year that they're gonna try to run this year, given the fact that we can't do travel again this year. And the fact that COVID really has our hands tied, we're looking at possibly having a fairly large balance at the end of the year. Because we only have 59,000 in awards for spring.
Mary, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the most conservative.
Yes. Yes. And if Dave wants to advance to the next screen, I can tell you.
Actually, so before we do that, just for this, just to refresh those committee members that may or may not have picked up on this, that $709,000 fund balance has been accumulating over time. It isn't as if the number of applicants has diminished. If you look at the number of folks who are actually applying for funds over the last 3 years, it's steadily increased. So it's not a matter of demand. What has happened to really kick that fund balance into gear was about 2 years ago, the Center for International Affairs in Academic Affairs, one of the mission pillars, mission pillar centers, they the purpose of their existence really is to offer travel-related instruction to students, okay? And as part of that, they would solicit IRA to fund two-thirds of these projects. And Dave, correct me if I'm wrong. So if, for example, there was a trip to Paris and they wanted to bring 20 students on this trip, if the total cost was $20,000, they would solicit IRA for roughly $16,000 and then collect the additional $4,000 in the form of student fees. What was happening was just the opposite. And so they would collect those revenues, okay, from the students. And then they would charge against the IRA award first, rather than charging against the student fee first. Well, come to find out, a lot of these trips, as they were presented to IRA, were overstating the actual cost. And so at the end of the day, they would end IRA, maybe the total cost of the trip in my example would be roughly $16,000. Well, IRA would cover 100% of that. Well, as time went on, that was ignored. Well, a lot of the internal controls that we have in place now within IRA and MSFT, for that matter, didn't exist. And so that was discovered about a year and a half ago from within our department. And we have put in mitigation strategies to make sure, for example, CIA has been asked to spend down the course fee balances that exist. And now that they're one of the large users of IRA, now that they're not part of at the table for applications, that has led to a surplus in demand, a reduced demand for IRA funding. And so until that gets, until they spend down their fund balances on the core side, this balance will continue to grow, disproportionately than it would have otherwise if they were participating in it. How this should work is that they should spend, anybody that's co-funding with course fees, in the case of CIA and IRA, course fees go first, IRA funding goes second. IRA is there to bridge fund, but not to fund in situations like that. That's primarily the reason behind the start of the larger fund balance. And then COVID hit and all of the travel, all of the ability for providers to come onto campus and provide whatever presentations or display or event basically disappeared. So we had a whole year of related to that. So as time has gone on, we have developed a sizable fund balance that really has become a problem. And I don't see that correcting anytime soon. So go ahead, Mary. I just wanted to provide some context to that. Any questions about that from anyone? Okay. Go ahead.
If Dave can advance to the next screen, it's likely to grow worse because I think we probably are underestimating somewhat with our official projection of the revenue that we'll collect. I think we got $414,000 in revenue for the fall semester. So we could be looking at $800,000 in revenue for the year. And right now at the current rate of expenditures, even though that more is forecast, more is awarded, if we're looking at what's actually being spent, we don't really foresee all of it, all of what's been awarded being spent. Because I think faculty are overwhelmed. They're teaching in a new modality and having extra activities as great as they are is difficult to pull off. So it's possible all that's awarded isn't gonna be spent. We have a real small $59,000 that's being requested in spring, and we could end up with kind of a staggering $1 million plus balance at the end of the year that goes into that. And we really do have an obligation to try to spend this down. The students that are here right now are paying into this fee, and they should receive the benefits of it. So in addition to asking the committee to go over what's been submitted so far for IRA awards, what we would like to do is leave it open, leave the application portal open and ask for additional proposals to come in, perhaps for things that we haven't in the past few years used IRA for.
Can you, for Lisa's benefit, explain the cycle of the application process, the fall, spring versus the annual? I think she may be thinking that, okay. Not really understanding what that would mean.
Sure. So last semester in the spring, we awarded fall awards, and this semester we're looking at spring awards. Normally we would have that closed up. It would be a very competitive thing, and all of the fund balance would go to awards, and it's not looking like we have even the ask for that. So because we have an obligation to spend the money on the students that have paid into it, we'd like to leave it open in case faculty do come up with new ideas that they can use in the spring. I think over the weekend, we did get one faculty member expressing that she would like this opportunity. So we would like to leave it open, and we would like to perhaps suggest that there are other ways that it could be used. I took a look at other CSU campuses to see how they're spending their IRA fund. Northridge, they're spending a lot of it on class project materials, like capstones can have those actual capstone projects funded through IRA, and there's probably other classes like in the sciences especially that might have the use of that. We typically don't buy equipment with IRA funds, but perhaps materials where it's spent directly on students and it's more consumable would be a good use. In the past, when I first came to CI in 2007, we did use IRA for library subscriptions and materials. That's kind of gone over more towards lottery as being a more appropriate fund to draw from, but it does seem like it's still a valid use. So if lottery could go towards other things, and we could perhaps do some library subscriptions or.
Where would Lisa and Elizabeth find out what the limitations of IRA fees are? Where would we all go for that?
Well, I know it's on the IRA website, and perhaps Dave can speak to that.
Also in the
comes from the EdCode, I know, but.
Yeah, it's also in the training manual that you all received a few weeks ago and in prep for this, but the website is a great place to go generally for what IRA can be used for and can't traditionally. So that's gonna capture how we normally do things. But then I think this slide we're looking at now is a great addition to expand upon that approach given the circumstances.
Right,
so I can share my screen to the website whenever.
That's okay. I just wanted to, you know, because Lisa is relatively new. I mean, a lot of what we're talking about is more, I don't want to call it advanced, but it implies that, you know, some of this background information has been, there are limitations to how IRA can be used. It's instructional related materials. And like Mary said, you know, it can't be used for equipment, cameras, or that sort of thing. The executive order that directs this was written and approved, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, and it's very antiquated. However, as Mary's pointed out, a handful of institutions, a number of institutions that are of size and well regarded and vetted are using it for different purposes other than what we're using it for. And historically, and I will say that Lisa was in our quarterly review, so she has a little bit of insight where the provost and the vice president for business and financial affairs get together. It was pointed out there, and historically has been the case, where for the last 7 to 8 years, the same programs continue to use the IRA for the same thing. And a matter of fact, performing arts and the arts have continued to be the primary users of IRA. As a matter of fact, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, but something like 40% of all IRA fee revenue, something along those lines, goes towards that program. And so we're trying to, you know, given the fact that we've got the sizable fund balance and that it's continuing to grow, we need to start thinking about how to diversify. We need to first and foremost think about how we're going to use it, but then diversify going forward those that actually continue, you know, those constituents across our campus that could potentially use the fee. We need to get more thought oriented about how to expand those that can use it.
So I have a question.
Yes.
How is this known to faculty? How is it communicated? Is it like on an ongoing basis? Are they reminded of it? Are they given examples of what they can ask for in order to entice them to do exactly what you're saying is basically diversify their asks?
Mary, do you mind if I take a crack at that real quick? So it goes back to, you know, the frequency of applications. As Mary pointed out, you know, a call for proposals go out twice a year, one in fall. So the process that you're engaged in right now will be for awarding or awards that take place in spring. Those that are awarded actually processed this fall were decided back in spring of last year. So there's that cycle that goes on. Prior to, you know, as part of that, there is a call for proposal that's sent out by Mary and Dave. And in there, they provide specific instructions on, this goes across our division, specific instructions on the time frame, the calendar, what IRA can be used for, what the expectations are. We direct them back to our website. And on our website, it provides a great deal of detail in terms of what historically has been funded, the rules and guidelines, and that sort of thing. So faculty are very much engaged in it, but what you'll find, and we can certainly provide this information because we've presented it before, is that traditionally, you know, if you look at the number of awards over the last 5 years, the majority is going to performing arts. The second I want to say is ESRM, environmental science, and I should know that. But it's the same programs in and out, and nothing wrong with that. There really isn't anything wrong with it. But I think we're at an inflection point where we've got to address the fund balance. And why not start to bridge out with because I'm certain, as Mary has researched, there are more than uses than maybe what we've considered in the past. And that is something that, you know, we're seeking out from you two today, is, you know, ideas for how best to approach this. How are we able to minimize the fund balance given the fact that our demand has basically dried up? Mary, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I think that that covers it. I mean, this is San Diego State. A lot of these last three things come from San Diego State. They had other similar items, but just looking at what I think applies here at our university, you know, I think we should welcome new ideas as long as it fits with something that's allowable, because it really is not okay to charge a fee that students are not going to benefit from.
So
positive. Oh, excuse me.
No, you go ahead.
It's really positive to see the library listed on there, because I mean, we could spend $800K on materials in like 45 minutes just because, you know, our database subscriptions are astronomical. But I think that if we could get a really good definition of what would fit into that, it would go a long way for us not wasting this committee's time on things that don't count, like what is going to count, what isn't going to count. And I'd be happy to help work on that with the... And I think that for advertising this outside of like what we typically accept, if we can get clear definitions of what is not, because, you know, I've been on this committee for a year now and I am mostly clear on what those things are, but not 100% clear. So I think if maybe we could work on shaping up what some of those definitions of what does not count and examples of what does count, we could get a lot of diverse requests in.
So that is great feedback, Elizabeth, and I totally agree with that, because I myself, you know, if I would encourage all of you to go back and you look at the executive order, it is very vague. I mean, it talks about television broadcasts and it provides examples. It doesn't say that these, as a matter of fact, I want to say the language is specific to these are examples, but not limit, it's not limited to these examples. So as Mary has pointed out, I think we may have limited ourselves. Where I think we could really serve ourselves well is by talking with our legal counsel about, you know, the executive order and how much flexibility do we have. I have to talk. Maybe what Mary and I can do is reach out through the provost and with Diane as well, because I'm sure that they would like to be part. They being enrollment or student affairs would like to be part of that conversation to lay out how to best interpret the executive order. But Mary did say something that I'm not sure wasn't missed on the committee, and that is, she mentioned opening it up. Okay, as I mentioned, there are two cycles in which call for proposals are taken. They're just these boxed, compartmentalized periods of time. Mary and I and Dave have talked about leaving it open, basically taking applications as they come in. And I don't know if Mary, you mentioned, I think you did, as part of the what we consider to be the, if you go back to slide 3, Dave.
All right.
This is where we think we're going to be. We're going to have more revenue than what we originally projected. That's the 805 is roughly $25,000 less than what we did last year. It's about right. And our fall IRA expense, even though we've listed 398 on that prior slide, more than likely, the most aggressive is probably going to be 200,000. The number of applicants that have come in for spring is dismal, which is going to add even more pressure to the. So one of the things that we've thought about is keeping the application cycle open, because what did we get so far, Mary? 20?
59,000. Yeah, I think it is 20
versus Dave. 20. How many do we normally get?
55, 60 per semester has been, so, you know, what, 120 per academic year.
Yeah.
From a workload perspective, I think that's a brilliant idea, because right now, like, you know, I'm teaching this fall too, and everybody is absolutely overwhelmed. And I think if you gave folks the time to have their holiday break to think through some of this stuff, or just a broader kind of spectrum to submit things, I think that is going to go a huge, well, I think that's going to really go a long way.
I agree. If you have the funds, you might as well leave it open for any kind of use that will fall within the guidelines. I do also wonder, how possible is it that the university is incurring expenses that could potentially have been covered by this because faculty missed a window of time, or they didn't think about it, or they simply, you know, didn't want to go through the process. And so is there some kind of review process of maybe whoever approves the faculty expenditures to kind of look and see what are some of those things that could have gone through this process and be funded?
Wow, that is an interesting idea. That would, where retrospectively we go back and we say, okay, for this fiscal year, you know, what have you done that could, based on our new understanding of how it can be used, first and foremost, once we look at it through that lens, you know, have we spent money in a way that could have been. All of that would need committee approval, because at the end of the day, we're going through this application process so that students and you, Lisa, and you, Elizabeth, have the ability to vet these things for that purpose and earn an agreement collectively to ensure that that is what the committee wants to do. But I really like that idea. Dave and Mary, do you have
any? And I think also, once you expand on additional things that we can spend the money on, the ones that you pulled from the other campus, those are a lot of things that, I mean, possibly a lot of the student affairs programming that we do could potentially fall into that too. So then you could, you know, send out the call, not just to faculty and academic affairs, but maybe even to student affairs and maybe advancement, because they have career services in their area.
I totally agree. That is certainly one area, student affairs, that I would love to see more, engaged. It's not because you don't want to be engaged, but the limitations of what we've used this for in the past has really led to that lack of participation. The other outcome is simply not charging the fee. If we come back at the end of this and realize that, you know, that this is a fee that is extremely narrow in its focus, very well may be that we just simply petition to not charge the fee for a year. So I asked that this be presented to you all as kind of a precursor to the actual committee work that I think we'll talk about for the remainder of the time. But this represents kind of the financial picture, some of the concerns that we have as administrators of this fee. And so given the information that we've gotten from you guys so far, I think we have enough to go back on. We will research. I'll actually try to set up a meeting with our legal counsel to evaluate the uses, and then we'll provide more of a scope in terms of how it can be used. And then maybe by the time we meet next, we can have something like that. But there is work. I guess what we do is we continue to pursue the traditional work in the way it has traditionally been done with the 20 applications that are currently in play. So Mary, did you want to talk about that and what that looks like?
I'm sorry, for the work of
InfoReady and how that works.
Oh, I was gonna have Dave do that because he's through that.
All right, stand by. I'm gonna share my screen one more time here.
In the meantime, is there any other questions or anything that you would like us to do given what we just talked about? Okay, thank you.
So now we're just over to our homepage, our instructional related activities page. If you've never been there, you can just simply type in IRA. Let's see if I can do that. And that'll come right up here to the main page. This intro gives a real succinct, I know it's in your instructional manuals, your training manuals on what is an instructionally related activity. We just talked about ways to expand upon that, but in general, this is a good definition of what you'd be looking at. So I'll let you review that on your own. But then go to this application for funds link right to the right menu. As Kirk mentioned, the compartmentalized or like the fall and spring application periods. So right at the top, we want to make that deadline visible to proposers, which has already passed, of course, October 16th. That's the current batch that you have right now of those 20. But I want you to scroll down below this apply now bar. And the system that we'll be using as reviewers is called InfoReady. Elizabeth, you've already been through that round a few times, actually, in a number of different committees, so thank you for that. But Lisa, we'd encourage you. There's some really helpful links to help you get started, how to log into the system, different screenshots. There's a great video. So if you wouldn't mind reviewing those. And then on the back end administrative side, we'll set you up with reviewer access to InfoReady. So you would just log in after you've had a chance to familiarize yourself with the videos and the links. You'd log in, and I'm gonna do that right now. So I actually saved my InfoReady as to my desktop as just a bookmark. And so here's a brief description of the portal itself. Don't be alarmed if you don't see IRA down here, because you'll need to log in first, this tiny little link in the upper right-hand corner. It'll remember your CI Web login standard, so I'm gonna do that. And while my computer thinks about the, all right, okay. Then you're gonna go to manage this top toolbar there. And now that's where you're gonna have access. These are for IRA and MSFT. Those are two separate student fee committees. So Lisa and Elizabeth, of course, you'll only worry about the IRA side for now. And then the most recent batch, it's this bottom spring IRAs that's going to pull up. And now this is going to look like, oh, another great summary right here, okay. What you're going to do is you're going to go, let me move my Zoom detail here. This original application grid button, and you scroll down a little bit, hyperlinked are each one of the 20 proposals here. So that's where you're going to pull it up. You'll use a ranking system when you review. And you'll note that Kirk had mentioned, or actually, Lisa, that was your question, like, you know, how do these move forward in the application cycle? Who approves that? So luckily at the chair and dean level, they're pretty versed, well-versed in how the normal IRA works. So the proposals that you're going to be reviewing now, all 20 have received that that approval. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. I won't go into much detail before you've done your video training, but that's the work at hand. That's the current batch where you'll go through, rank those, for the merits of the proposal as they meet IRA guidelines.
And I'll go in this afternoon and add all of you as reviewers. I didn't want to do it now, so you aren't getting emails to do this task before we talked about it. But I will be adding you in as reviewers.
Do you all have any questions about what actually you're reviewing for? I mean, what these are scored correctly or correct against the rubric? Mary? Dave?
That's correct. So we have a rubric template for you to use. That'll be distributed along with your InfoReady access. And just, you know, how those, it's a 1 through 5 system. I don't think I mentioned that. So thank you, Kirk. So you'll score each proposal on a 1 to 5 scale based on your, how you believe those proposals match the guidelines.
What is the time frame we have to review these and give our ratings?
I'll go ahead and take that one. The general sequence for fall semesters is that we want to complete our review business ideally before finals week. Once the committee has stamped their approval or denials of any proposals, we review those. Now it should be noted, we make recommendations as committee members. We don't actually have the final stamp of approval, but administratively we collect our group recommendations. Those are moved forward through the provost office for final approval and make sure they check budget markers that we discussed earlier. So, but yeah, the timeline, we went ahead and scheduled at least to calendar all of our meetings. We may not need all of those, but of course they're there to be calendared and we can meet and review, discuss any questions as we go along. But we've got a few weeks ahead to review each one and come up with a good recommendation.
Any questions? Lisa, this is pretty much for you because I think Elizabeth is very familiar with that.
I guess my only other question would be, is there ever a time that you guys have questions on the application that you have to kind of go back and get more information, or is it pretty like cut and dry?
Elizabeth, did you want to?
For my last go of this, most of them were pretty cut and dry. The majority of them had been run before. Like we mentioned earlier, it's the same folks who are applying over and over again. I've run into a few questions where I've not seen material that I've wanted to see, like a report from a previous year, things like that. But mostly I would just note that in my comments so I could review it later. There's a place for you to like rate have comments on the ratings that you give. So, but not too significantly.
There is a requirement, and we've been, you know, particularly this last semester, you know, really trying to fulfill that internal control, that if you have used IRA in the past, you know, or in the last semester, there is an assessment that has to be done for anybody that has used IRA fees before. It's like a post-assessment, because as part of this application, everybody has to lay out what their goals are or what they're trying to achieve. And then at the end, you know, they need to go back and they need to outline whether they achieved that or not. If they haven't done that, I believe we have it's not really a policy, but it's because it's not codified through the policy process as we have here at Channel Islands, but it is kind of an informal agreed to principle, I believe. I'm not sure where it originated from, that says if you didn't do that, your entire program isn't eligible for IRA fees. Now, obviously in this environment, I don't want to put as many restrictions like that on it, but you know, I think as Elizabeth alluded to, if that isn't, I believe folks, Dave and Mary, have we reviewed, done a cursory review to evaluate whether they have turned in prior assessments?
I have not at this time, I'll be honest. There's a link when the proposer goes through the proposal process where they would upload a prior report. So any attachments are gonna be visible through the InfoReady. But if you note that none is present, just let me know. And yeah, getting back to Lisa's question, is there a time where we're able to reach out to a proposer to ask additional information? And we can certainly do that. You know, if the committee also has line item view. That means, let's say someone is requesting $5,000 to hold a seminar, but $1,000 of that is for catering or for flower arrangements, for example. If the committee feels like, hey, this is a great seminar package, but we don't feel like $1,000 for, say, flowers meets the guidelines, the committee can reduce an individual award that can still be approved. So anyway, these are things where we can go back to the proposers themselves and have a dialogue so that they could submit additional information, whether it be an outstanding report or other details or reports about their existing proposal.
Are we doing that through the committee or can they reach out individually to the requester?
Yeah, typically that would just run through, yeah, it's a dialogue through administration. So a coordinator, so in my role previously, would just accept, you know, work as a liaison and then present that to the committee. Say, hey, we reached out, here's what we have, and then be transparent with those reports to the committee.
Thank you.
Pretty sure the issue that I ran into where I did not have a report last year was a human error where someone attached a file that was not, it was full of photos of the trip and not any description of the event that happened. So I think that that was perhaps a file management error and not a purposeful. So I took it in the spirit of the event did happen.
In all the proposals that are provided, those have all gone through all the, even like the last review. Because I remember last year, there were some that had come through, but we were still waiting for like an approval. But I thought we were gonna put some reviews in place so that.
Okay. One of them was Sean Carswell. There was a, he had not submitted. He apparently the assessment he had done was on his laptop on campus, on his hard drive, not on the network, and he was on sabbatical. So we agreed. The provost agreed that there would be no penalty on the English department, but that we still are owed that assessment. And then COVID hit. So, yeah. I think those one-offs, as long as they're documented, I think we'll be in good shape. Thank you for bringing that up, Diane. Any other questions, folks, that you may have on this? I'll tell you, given the volume, 20 applications, that's light. It shouldn't be that difficult. And, you know, if I can't, I would love to really take the time to rethink how we administer IRA out for use. So I'm really looking forward to your participation and effort to help solve that problem.
My question regarding that specifically is, do you look for us to help advertise that? And if you do that kind of broadening of that, are we waiting until we make a further decision on that? Do you want, like, you know, I have faculty who I could speak about this to, you know, within the next week. Would you rather us wait on that until something is more solidified, or I don't know?
Yeah, thank you for asking. I think for the time being, we need to do more due diligence. If we're going to open up, you know, the ways in which we spend, I would love to, like I said, be able to sit down and kind of get at least a broader scope from our legal counsel on that. But I do like the idea, if the committee is in agreement, I mean, what we could do immediately is kind of break open, and Dave and Mary, please correct me if I'm overstepping here, but basically open it up, get rid of the boundary on the calendar as of right now. We immediately do that. I don't see any reason for doing that. Do you all?
Okay. I support that.
No, and just to add to that, the great thing about leaving the online portal open is that the InfoReady system automatically routes those, so that it'd be different if we just say, hey, send administration or send the committee an email, and a faculty member could say, hey, I've got this great idea. Well, what would be really handy is if they put it through a proposal format like the ones we're used to seeing. And in so doing, that automatically routes it through their program chair and dean, so that it's nice if they give us a heads up. But just to add to what the current discussion, to leave that online portal just open, it'll take care of that routing for us and give us a nice proposal format.
It's helpful for the workflow on the committee as well, or the workload for us. I think that's going to be really helpful.
Do you think we should put out a general call before we approach individuals to kind of give everyone the same opportunity before we have individual conversations about it?
I agree with that. I do think it should be a broad communication, but, you know, clarifying that, okay, we're not holding you guys to a deadline this time, but please, you know, submit something. You have opportunities now.
Well, I would love to do that. I don't want to become tone deaf though, because what it sounds like is we're going to have a couple email, two or three or four email coming out here soon. One, I like your idea, Lisa, that, you know, we go back and we look at what we've spent so far this year along this new approach that is agreed and approved by you all. In terms of the scope of what the fee can be used for. And then that is, in addition to that, we open it up, you know, so that it's not collared by a calendar. How would you all approach this? How do you want to approach it? In terms of communicating it out, in piecemeal or all at once?
Just in terms of how faculty are with emails right now, I feel like a one email that includes everything would be a really beneficial way, that if someone is going back and saying, I read that thing about IRA and they go back and that one email has everything. I think it's that was a smart way to communicate it. So if that means waiting until towards the end of the semester, I think that makes a lot of sense. If we could get kind of our communication plan in order by the end of the semester, once faculty are starting to be finished with their grading and can kind of step back and focus, I think that would be a smart plan for them actually thinking about what they'd like to maybe propose for the spring and get an application together. I think once that goes out, it's fine to do more piecemeal things if we're seeing that there's not, you know, folks are not responding to either part of what we communicate to them from whatever that mass email is. But I think one email would be a smart way to do it.
Yeah, and maybe the one faculty member that's already reached out and questioned if this is a possibility, we can let them know, mm-hmm. planning on it, look for this email in the future.
If there is one person who knows, I think it is helpful just to communicate what is the communication going to be from the rest of us? Because if there's a faculty member who knows that more people will know. So I just,
okay, that's true.
As the other faculty member who they know, other people know I'm on this committee. I want to know what right. you want me to say.
Right.
Well, and I'm starting to, you know, I hate to say that after 2.5 years, I'm starting to realize, but I think what we need to do is any communication that we have out into academic affairs, we need to CC all of you on so that you are aware of, you know, and hopefully by, you know, that there is an agreement on what is actually stated, and then, you know, we send it out with you as a copy so that we shore up the value and participation that you all provide, and they know that this was not a unilateral decision, that it was a committee, you know, kind of derived idea. I think we'll start to do that.
So do you think that Kirk and Dave and I could maybe draft something initial and then we could discuss it as a committee at our next meeting?
Yeah, and if there's any in-between work that you need done, like if you get together with legal and get a definition, I'm happy to work on fleshing some of those out if you need examples fleshed out, something along those lines.
Wonderful.
I don't want to start until I know exactly what is or isn't kosher.
I think it's great. Dave, Mary, anything else that we can add? So I take it what we want to do is continue to move forward status quo, go through the 20 applications, and then reconvene at some other when you all are done. I don't think we're scheduled to meet. Do you know what our next meeting is, Dave?
I kept this same time frame just for people's schedules to, you know, think ahead and go, okay, Monday at 2 p.m. So yeah, exactly a week from today, I think that's the 16th, another Monday at 2 p.m. So yeah, we could work on that proposal review this week, but could spill into next week as well. And then, yeah, so that's already set up on our Outlook calendars.
Okay. What do you all, how do you all, what kind of time would you need? I don't want to, like, if we don't have an agenda, you know, other than where are you at? I'm not sure we need to meet. We do have this work at play, and quite honestly, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to, I need to talk with the provost about how best to communicate this to the, I keep calling him the AG, but the, yeah, it's not quite that level of, but to our council, and I'm not sure how quickly that will transpire. But what do you all? What would you? How do you want to? How do you want this to evolve? How would you all? How frequently would you like to meet?
Less is good.
Less is good. That's a beautiful answer, Lisa.
Yeah, I'm open. Obviously, if there's something to be talked about, and even if it just can be done via email, that's fine. If it just needs to be a shorter meeting, that's fine with me too. I'm pretty flexible that way. Whatever is conducive to, you know, the business at hand is good.
Okay, that sounds good. And I think it honors the students' time as well, because I know mm-hmm. that that individual with the jobs in the description that was laid out by Dave, it's unfortunate that we didn't get a chance to meet her, but I think it honors and respects the situation that the student's in. Diane, did you have any comment or in terms of the frequency? Okay. Dave, Mary?
Yeah, I'm good. I'll try to attend, you know, most of the meetings if I can.
Okay.
So yeah, just continue to send me the dates and I'll pop in when I can.
Anything else, folks? Give you back 4 minutes of your life.
I'll take it.
All right, Mary, Dave, did you want to end with anything or? Okay. All right, folks, well, we'll be in touch soon and it sounds like we've got our work cut out for us. If you have any questions about how to approach the application process in the meantime, don't hesitate to reach out to Mary and Dave, who are kind of the subject matter experts on that. And I will work with Mary to kind of figure out how best to move forward with some of the ideas that we had today.
And I will go ahead and add those who are reviewers as reviewers this afternoon. And Diane, I'll try to look at getting you the same type of access that we have for reviewing.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. All right, guys, take care and be safe.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, guys, so much. Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.